In this episode, I am talking to my biz bestie, Michaela Clark, who is an amazing content marketer and the founder of Content Juice. And we are talking about 12 strategies to grow your podcast.
Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to episode 30 of Podcasting Tips and Tricks. I am still pinching myself that I have got 30 episodes of this podcast out because I have done it in seasons, and yet it feels like the time has gone so quickly. This is the last episode for season 3, so I will be taking a break after this episode, probably longer than a couple of weeks, but I will be back with another season shortly. So welcome back to those listeners who have tuned in before, and a big hello to anybody who's new to the show. I'm your host, Lyndall Harris, and I'm the founder of Podcast VA, where we make your podcast journey easier by offering a variety of done-for-you services. So if you've known me for any length of time, you've probably heard me talk about my business bestie, Michaela Clark. Podcast VA and myself seriously would not be where we are today without her. And we'll often just pick up the phone for a quick question or I just got to ask you something, and we'll end up on the phone talking for over an hour. It's funny how some people come into your life. Michaela and I met so randomly at Sydney Airport one day, both on the way to the same conference. And when I say randomly, like it was random. I think we kind of looked at each other, started this conversation, not having ever seen each other or heard of each other before, which was quite bizarre. But since then, we've become really good friends and we've really been biz besties probably for about 5 years now. Michaela had my back when Cy was diagnosed, when he was going through treatment, when I was trying to build the team, and again when he passed away. And I can't tell you how many moments I thought I'd give up and just be like, you know, this is too hard. But she's given me direction, encouragement, and has always been there for me. Michaela has been doing content marketing for over 10 years. She works with my clients on their strategy, and she's recently launched a business called Content Juice. So Content Juice helps you squeeze the most out of your content to help you grow your audience, generate leads, and increase your sales. So welcome to the show, Michaela.
I can't believe that it's taken so long for us to hook up together.
I know, I know. And you're my last episode of season 3.
Dirty 30, isn't it?
It is the Dirty 30. It is, absolutely. See, I kept a special one for you.
Thank you. And it was random when we met. I don't know if you remember, it was at like a taxi rank. And yep. I just remember going, I think I know you, even though I've never spoken to you or seen you or anything. I just think you're going to this conference. So it was very random.
Bizarre. It was so bizarre, wasn't it? And that was back in 2012, I think. It was so long ago. I love it.
Well, the universe was speaking to us that day, and it's been, yes, and I wouldn't be here without you, so thank you for the wonderful intro as well.
Ah, well, you're very welcome. So in today's episode, Michaela and I are going to talk about ways to grow your podcast, and I'm so glad to be having this conversation because I do see the question come up quite a bit in my Facebook group, and I've also had a few people reach out to me recently asking how they can grow their show. So I thought it would be a great opportunity to not only do an episode about it, but to get Michaela on the show because she has this most amazing strategic mind, and I really wanted to have her on the show. I've actually wanted to have her on the show for ages, but it hasn't worked into the schedule, so it's really good to have you here. But to start off with, Michaela, do you want to give the audience a little bit of a background as to who you are and what Content Juice is all about?
Yeah, sure. So as you said in your intro, I've been sort of working one-on-one with a number of clients for the last 10 years. A few years ago, I had a little podcast myself, which I love doing and do miss doing. And since then, just really been trying to juggle the whole having a business, having a family, being a wife, being a daughter, having three stinky boys that are nearly teenagers and trying to juggle it and not lose my shit. And oh, are we allowed to swear on this one?
You can, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Just checking. And just basically trying to hold it all together while trying to, you know, build a little bit of a business and bring some money in. And eventually some space opened up that I could launch Content Juice, which is, as you would know, has been in the back of my mind for a few years now. but finally got some time to do that. And it's really come from so many people. I see create this amazing content and they spend so much time crafting some interviews, getting great guests, developing their content, and then just don't have the time to promote it, or they get blocks around promoting it and just don't do it. So we've tried to create a really simple system where you provide us with the content and we, like juicing a orange, you give us the orange and we turn it into lots of different pieces of content for you to share across social media and grow your audience. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I love that. And I'm so excited to see it finally come to fruition because I am going to, well, I am using it. I have signed up and will be continuing to use it for my future episodes because I am that person who creates the episodes and then my focus shifts away from promoting my own show, which is, I know, you know, not fantastic, but I just don't have the time to create the different podcast assets. So I am loving that you have launched this and people can get a hand with creating a whole lot of different assets to help promote their show. And I just want to go back a little step and say it wasn't such a little podcast that you were on a couple of years ago. You co-hosted an amazing podcast. So yeah, it wasn't just some little podcast a couple of years ago, Michaela. So we are going to get into the content. So one of the most asked questions that podcasters are discussing or asking is, how do I grow my audience? So we are going to, it's not really going to be an interview style show where I'm asking Michaela questions. We're going to be talking through a number of steps and a number of things that people can be doing to help grow that audience. So over to you, Michaela, let's kick it off.
Well, what I've done is I've looked at a lot of the strategy sessions that we've done for your clients and also, you know, the questions that are commonly coming up in the Facebook group to try and put together some strategies and things that will help people that have launched their podcast, done a few episodes and perhaps just aren't getting the traction that they wanted, or they've been doing it for a while and they really need a refresh but not really sure where to focus. So I've, you know, in true professional style, 5 minutes before we hit record, I've jotted down some notes.
I love that you do it 5 minutes before you hit record because your brain has just got all of this info. So I love that. Okay, where are we starting? What's the first one you want to touch on?
Well, the first thing I want to say is, now these all aren't in particular order. I've come up with sort of 12-ish things that you can do to help grow your podcast. Now, one may apply, none may apply, or all may apply. So take what you will. But for one of the first things that we hear people say is, oh, I haven't got enough download numbers. And they refer to the actual number of people downloading their podcast. And yes, it would be great to have millions of downloads and create lots of wonderful advertising revenue and go high on the charts. But I guess I really want to question first off, like, what is the purpose of your podcast and why do those download numbers really matter? And I think you need to just step back and go, okay, what was the reason for me starting the podcast? You know, was it purely just I want to do it for fun? Or was it you want to build your brand? Of course, you wanted to get perhaps some new customers and get some increased sales and people into your sales funnels. It could be you wanting to build credibility as a speaker, or of course, improving your spoken communication techniques. That may not always be about the sales and new customers, or it may be. It could be just you getting out of your comfort zone and putting yourself out there. It could be adding value to your existing clients and just giving them a way to promote themselves. So there's a lot of reasons why people do podcasts. And you know what? You could just be doing it for fun and entertainment, and that's great as well. So I think, again, have a look at the reason as to why you started the podcast and why you want to grow and in what areas you want to grow. And one of the great stories I love to tell about why download numbers don't necessarily matter is the podcast I had a few years ago was targeted towards tradies, and they were notorious for taking action and actually listening to podcasts back then, because this is quite a few years ago when podcasts were relatively new. So we had a business show around talking to tradies in particular. But one of the goals of that podcast was around developing joint venture opportunities or partnerships? Who could we use to get in front of new audiences? So who could we perhaps use the podcast as a method of having conversations with people we may not be able to normally? And so there was a great opportunity that opened up where we were able to interview quite a large, one of the biggest organisations in Australia that talks to tradies. And normally we'd never been able to just, you know, knock on the door and talk to their CEO. But because we had the podcast, we were able to interview them. They got to know us. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're in Sydney sitting in their boardroom coming up with, you know, what could have been potentially a life-changing deal. Now, that didn't happen and it didn't go through. And that's okay. It didn't suit either party at the time. But the podcast gave us that opportunity to sit in that boardroom and talk about this deal. So we didn't have massive numbers, but it allowed us the opportunity to have those opportunities we wouldn't normally be able to. So I guess it's just thinking about what does growth mean to you and how do you define that? And it may not always be just the download numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a fantastic story, because I remember obviously back then in your journey, and I remember some of the partnership opportunities that arose for you, and it was really exciting to watch. And I know a lot of people build their show or create their show to build their brand awareness and to build their authority, but I think you've just gone through a whole lot of other reasons which are fantastic, and that you can start to think about different ways to use that. And when we talk about download numbers, I know when I talk to people, I often say, thinking about if you got 50 people in a room every week and you were talking to them, asking the question, would you be happy talking to 50 people every single week if they came up to listen to you speak? Even 20 people. So don't think that the numbers are the be all and end all, because if you had people turning up every week to listen to you, that 20 or 50, then that might be enough. So don't compare yourself to other podcasters, because again, not only the reason, I guess the audiences are different. You know, some people have got like a hobby podcast on music or a true crime podcast, and they're attracting a much different audience to someone who's got a business podcast and is getting 50 to 100 downloads a week compared to someone who's getting 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 downloads a week. It's completely different.
That's right. And this goes on to the next point that I was going to talk about, is just thinking about, again, your target market, like who is your audience? And it could be completely different now to when you started. And imagine if you are only having an amazing 50 listeners every week, but you are literally changing the way they live their life or the way they operate their business. And so that's so much powerful than barely having an impact on 1,000 different listeners a week. So it's really about having another think about who is your target market, who are you actually speaking to, and how you can develop your podcast around them. And I mean, you know, when you're actually recording it, having that person in your mind about, it could be a customer that you've had in the past, or it could be someone in your community that you talk to regularly, and actually have a conversation with them. And that way you are starting to be more relatable to your listeners and talking to them in a, perhaps, you know, a way that you haven't reached out before.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, there's somebody in the Facebook group who posted just this week about their podcast. So it was Paul Cochran who posted in the group that he has a podcast that is, it's called Childers, the podcast, and it was all about the backpackers burning down 20 years ago, where a whole lot of young people lost their lives. And there was a fire in Bundaberg this week, actually, and he posted that a lot of the people, and luckily this week, nobody was hurt and everyone escaped, but a lot of the people had actually listened to his podcast because they were backpackers and it was relevant to them. And so they had a little bit of a plan. And when you're talking about how you might change somebody's life or their business, like that there is a perfect example of, he's changed their lives. A great example of how, yes, it might be a big or a small market, but how are you making a difference to them?
That's right. And I think that's, you know, it's better than 50,000 downloads if you're having an impact on the right people. So the next thing I thought was also comes to, you know, reviewing your target market from when you started, but also actually reviewing your content. Are you actually entertaining if that was your reason for doing the podcast? Or are you solving an actual problem for your listeners? Actually reviewing what your content is about. You know, are they walking away from your episode with a quick win that they can implement in their life and business? What feeling do you think they have after they've listened to you? So it's again, it could be completely different from when you started, but is there a way with your content that you can change and perhaps make the episodes more engaging than they have been previously? And it comes down to perhaps it's like you said with the Backpackers podcast, you know, is there a niche that perhaps you've looked at content that you've done previously and those particular episodes got a lot more engagement and download than others? Perhaps it's time to pivot the podcast content away and niche into a different area. Because again, just how you started the podcast doesn't mean that's how it has to continue. It's your podcast. You can do the bloody well what you want with it.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And actually, I was having a session with somebody this morning and I was just showing them how to go into Apple Podcasts and look at the Apple or the iOS specific stats, because you get great stats, or most hosting platforms give you great stats. But if you want to see some more episode specific stats, jump into podcastsconnect.com and you can go through your episodes and you can see the consumption, which is really interesting, because sometimes when you look at the episode and see how much people have consumed of it, you can then take that information, as you say, and try and work out, well, are there episodes that people are listening more to on that overarching level that you can get from your hosting platform, but you can also go in and get the episode stats as well, and they can help you drive your content. And honestly, if you've ever need to, Michaela is just this fountain of knowledge when it comes to content. Honestly, there are times when I'll say to Michaela, oh, I'm not sure what to, and she will run off 20 to 30 things. And I'm like, wow, okay. Her brain is just, it's just, you're wired that way, aren't you, Michaela? Like, it comes to you easily. But I like what you're saying about reviewing it and having a think about what do they want to hear, because we can sit down quite easily and say, okay, well, we'll brainstorm this list, but if it's not what your audience want to hear, then they're not going to tune in. And one thing I do love about the group, and also just other groups that I network within, is I do ask them, what do you want to hear on the show? And then I'll take their suggestions, because obviously that's what they want to hear. So it's great for me helping the content, but it's also going to make sure that they, or sort of ensure that they're going to listen to it, because they've told me that's what they want.
That's right. And another little tip is, you know, always think about the frequently asked questions that you get asked, whether it's in business or, you know, through your website or whatever your podcast is about, because every time you get asked a question from someone, that's another episode. So often you think, oh, people already know this stuff, or you don't know what you don't know. But literally there's so much content there that to you it mightn't be that interesting, but actually to your listeners it's something really valuable. Mm. And the other thing I want to say is, when you're reviewing your content, you know, also think about what you like recording. So yes, it's about the listeners as well and giving them content that they enjoy. But what kind of episodes do you like doing? And because you've got to want to do this and keep enjoying it. So also have a think about the ones that you've found less stressful or enjoyed the most, and trying to bring that together with what your listeners want.
And it's remembering too, with those frequently asked questions, when we know a topic or something so well ourselves, we don't think about the fact that it might be useful to someone else. So I know in conversations I've had with people that it might be about, I don't know, like the ID3 tags, and someone will say to me, what is that? And they want to know more about it. And then they'll say, do an episode about that. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's really interesting, because I know what an ID3 tag is and I don't think to explain it necessarily. So really just thinking about, as you say, like when people ask you questions, take those questions and turn them into your content.
And, you know, micro content is like answering a simple question like that. That's what people are searching for. And that's, you know, kind of things that they want to know about. And especially with audio search coming and all the voice search and things like that, those kind of micro pieces of content are going to be really valuable over the next few years as well.
Mm, absolutely. So I think what we've covered off about three so far. What's the next one?
Right. So the next one I'm just going to touch on because I think everybody out there knows they should be doing it, and that's repurposing your content. So if you want to grow your podcast and grow your listeners, you do need to do some promotion of it. And I'm talking more than just releasing a link on the day your episode goes out and hoping magical fairies come along and it goes viral and all of a sudden you've got a reality TV series. So I think all of our audience know that they should be repurposing their content. And when we say repurposing, you know, making audiograms, blogs, images, all that kind of stuff. And there's a million ways and things you can do with your podcast. But what I do suggest, and I won't harp on it now, but for our listeners here to go back to episode 8 of yours, where you talk with Shannon Morrison, where you go through 20 ways to repurpose your content. And there's some great ideas in there to help you do that.
A podcast, you can either repurpose information into a podcast. So if you've got blogs and you've got presentations and what have you, you can repurpose those into a podcast episode, but you can also repurpose, obviously, as we're talking, your podcast into a whole lot of different things. And as you say, we did do, I think, 20 plus ways to repurpose your content in episode 8. So jump back there and have a listen. But it just saves you having to reinvent the wheel, doesn't it? Because you don't want to have to go and do a podcast episode on one topic and then go and do a blog on a different topic. Like you can really use it as your content creator for the week or the fortnight or the month or whatever, and just have that as the hub of your content and work around that.
That's right. And we've just repurposed a content episode then by referring back to episode 8 in an existing episode. So there's lots of little ways of just keep thinking about how can you keep promoting your content that you put so much effort into. And I think one thing is, okay, for me, I hate paying bills. Okay, I don't know. It's a block I have. I like to have the money in my bank account. I don't like to spend it out to other people. And I think it's a little bit the same where people have a little bit of block about putting their content out there. And I'll get onto this later about, you know, worrying too much about what other people think. But I think a lot of people say it's time and everything as well and priorities. But I think a lot of people actually have a bit of a block about putting their content out more and thinking that they're going to annoy people by putting out all these different snippets and things like that. And I find that, you know, it's sad, isn't it, that we put all this hard work in and then we don't want to shout from the rooftops, hey, come and have a listen. I've got things that can help you or make you laugh or entertain you.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it, we go, oh, I don't have enough time and I do other priorities. But I kind of think there's some mental rubbish going on there too.
You're not talking about me, Michaela, are you?
No, not at all.
I do have a little bit of a block around promoting myself sometimes. And it's really funny because I'm more than happy. You know, I see clients have great results and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this. This is fantastic. And yet if it's me going and putting more stuff of myself out there, then sometimes I do have a little bit of a block around it. But, you know, it's interesting when you think about as well the algorithms of social media, for example, like what, 1-2% of people are seeing a Facebook post on your page. So if you put it out there once on your page, like the tiniest percentage are seeing that. So why wouldn't you put it on there 2-3 times and then go and put it into like a program like Meet Edgar or a scheduler that will, you know, schedule it in to come out on a regular basis.
And I think the other strange thing is that, you know, that people actually don't really notice what we do. And people go, oh, you know, they're going to see it multiple times. Do you think people really keep track of how often you're putting your content out and what you're doing? I think we're far too self-indulgent thinking about ourselves to worry about how many times you promoted the episode. So I think that's something we just get so carried away with. And really it's like, just put this content out there. You've done a great job. And, you know, what comes of it? And you know what? It does come back to what people often, what others think of what you're doing, and it's really a waste of energy.
Yep, absolutely. So we're repurposing and we are getting it out there and marketing it again. What's the next thing?
And now this is also talked about a lot as well, and I won't go into too much detail because I'm sure all of our experienced podcasters already are aware that a really good way to grow their podcast is getting in front of other people's audiences. And so this can be whether you're having guests on your podcast that are then going to promote the episode, or you actually having a structured guest outreach strategy where you dedicate time every week to reaching out to people that you may or may not know and how you can offer value to their listeners and see if there's some kind of relationship that you can build there. So I think everyone sort of gets the idea if they've got a guest format, that's something they should be doing as much as they can. But what I would say is don't always go for those high-profile guests that you always see on other people's podcasts or that are doing a launch and you're seeing them, you know, everywhere selling the same message. You know, think about what you find interesting and what your listeners may. And it may be someone with a small audience, and that's okay because they're going to create great content for you and have an interesting conversation. So just keep an open mind about when you're having people on your podcast. And another thing that really surprises me is how many people don't follow up with their guests when they've been on their show and actually provide them with a little bit of a guest pack, provide them with some snippets, provide them with some video memes, some audiograms, some quote images of them, actually write out what, you know, a bit of a blurb about the episode. So give them everything to them on a silver platter that they can then either promote themselves or give it to their team promote. So we need to make it really easy for them to promote the podcast for you. You know, there's nothing worse than them going back and going, oh, it got released 3 weeks ago. I didn't even know about it. So I think everyone's getting a lot better at that, but providing them with some assets themselves to promote the episode can go a long way as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea because I think a lot of us do connect with the guest and let them know that the episode's live, but not necessarily providing them with their own images and quotes, etc. So I know for me, I tag my guests on social and things like that, but it is different than to go and give them this show pack and make them feel special to go and help you promote that show too. And I hear what you're saying about sometimes the high profile guests that are particularly in a launch phase that are on quite a number of podcasts, they're not necessarily going to share all of them, especially if their message is the same on a lot of the podcasts. So if you give them a guest show pack and make them feel special, then they're more likely to choose to share yours than maybe say the 9 others that they've been on saying the same story. So that's a really good, that's a great tip there.
Yeah. And the other thing, a little hack I love letting people know about is that, you know, reusing guest interviews and repackaging them up and using them down the line more. So, you know, something like you ask the one question to every guest that comes on your show, and then you can cut them up from different episodes and create a best bits episode or an episode around what the 10 experts say about this. So not only is that giving you another episode, but people love those kind of list type episodes, but also it gives you another reason to reach back out to that guest, especially if someone that you want to develop a relationship with or do something else with. So you're going, hey, we've reused, you know, this piece of content. Here's some more assets to promote it if you'd like, but just letting you know. So it's another little hack to reuse your content and repurpose it again in another way.
Great. Yes, I love that. And the listeners know that I ask anyone that I interview on the show 2 questions at the end of every episode, which you'll hear in this episode as well. And I'm going to put together a couple of those episodes in the next season, but obviously needed to get enough content to create them. But that's exactly why I guess people ask those same questions, because then it will be whether it's the top 10 tips that experts give on their podcasting journey or what they thought when they started. So yeah, there's some great info there, and getting in front of other people's audiences really is a really great way to build your audience. Like, that is probably one of the most popular ways that podcasters are using it and thinking about how they can add value to other audiences and then bring them across so that they're listening to their show. And there's a lot of podcast guest services, like booking services out there. There's some free ones that you can sign up to, but there's also some paid ones where they'll go and find your ideal client. So if that is a big part of your strategy, you might want to go and look up some of those services and register with them.
And I think it's just to also dedicating time and space to do that outreach and be part of that. Like, it's a mental shift. Okay, this is going to be my priority now with the podcast, is getting in other in front of other people's audiences and just looking at not necessarily like the big audiences, but there could be some really key relationships that you have that may have smaller audiences, but those audiences are really keyed into who your target market is. So yeah, it's a really great strategy.
Yeah. And we've touched on before in other episodes how if this is part of your strategy, personalize your pitch. Like, don't just go and have a list of podcasts that you want to be on and then a blanket email that you send out or a VA sends out for you.
Yeah.
Because you, I know, Michaela, you have been in that position. I've been in that position. Lots of people who have interviews have been in that position where they get the blanket email and it's obvious that they've never listened to your show. They don't really know who you are. And they're not even offering any advice on the value that they're going to give to the audience. So if you're going to use this strategy, spend some time getting to know who you're reaching out to. Personalize your pitch. Really make sure that you are making it obvious to the podcast host that you know of the podcast, you know what it's about, you know what value you're going to add, and you can tell them that the similarities in the audiences and it's things like that to make that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a big job either. Maybe each week just say, okay, this week I'm going to approach five people, and whether it's them to be a guest on yours or you're outreaching to be on theirs, and just, you know, make contact with five people. And if you did that consistently every week, you're going to get some, you know, good spots and some opportunities open up.
And if you ask them as a guest on your show first, you build the relationship with them as well. So if you're feeling a little nervous about reaching out to somebody that you've never spoken to before, then, you know, connecting on social media and building a relationship that way, perhaps having them on your show if you're an interview show as well, is a really good way to build that relationship. And then perhaps you could talk about going on their show as well.
Yeah, and also sharing and commenting on the content that they produce as well to show that you actually do listen to what they're about and see their value. So the next one I wanted to chat about, and I think this is one of the biggest growth opportunities, particularly in more business-related podcasts, but it's actually looking internally within your business and how you can use your podcast more. I find it really interesting that internally within the businesses that people, yes, they may send a newsletter out with the podcast episode in it, but there's so many opportunities that they have that they're not necessarily promoting their podcasts. And it could be as simple as, is your staff actually listening to the podcast? Now, I know that sounds like a silly question, but it'd be really worthwhile exercise making sure that your staff are listening to it so that they can get an idea about what the podcast is about and promote it to your clients and customers more. But if they get a particular question, they can be pointing to an episode where you as the business leader perhaps is answering that question. So other areas is like, is it part of your sales funnels? You're creating all this content, giving away all this expert advice, but are you actually sending it out to your leads and future customers? So having a look at that, how can you implement it into a more formulated sales funnel process? Is it part of your onboarding new clients? Perhaps you talk about the why you do your business or the history or reasons you do certain things a certain way. That all is great content that you may have put on your podcast, but would be great to let new clients coming on board know about as well if they haven't heard it. So in including it in some other processes that you have in your business, have you used it on the About Us section of your website or about your team members if you've interviewed them on something? Again, we've already talked about frequently asked questions. So your staff and customers would be giving you content all day long that you can use as another way of creating some new content. Also, things as easy as it's in your email signature. Think about how many emails that you send in a day. You know, it takes 2 minutes to literally put, you know, your latest podcast link in. And then again, that's another way of getting that content out to people that already know and like you and giving them some extra value. Of course, there's some old school marketing. You know, is it on your business card? Is there a sign in your shop if you have an office or a brick and mortar about your podcast? You know, it's also going offline and letting people know about it as well. And of course, you know, like I said, newsletters and other external communications that you do, are you including it on there? And another little trick is some people have QR codes that link to episodes in their podcast. So they print it out and they print it on the front counter or on business cards again. And customers just need to scan that code with their camera and that takes them straight to a link to subscribe to their podcast or listen to a particular episode. So again, it's thinking about in your business, when are you communicating with your customers or potential customers? How can you include your great content out to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just scribbling little things, notes down here as you're saying that there are so many little nuggets of gold right there. When you talk about the onboarding, like I've just had a moment where I can think about where I can include some of my episodes in my onboarding, my new clients. But I have a client that I signed up very early, actually, when I started Podcast VA. And I remember he said to me, he doesn't particularly do his podcasts for the brand awareness and finding a new audience in Apple Podcasts. And well, Spotify didn't do all the podcasts back then, but in the bigger directories, his objective, I guess, was so that as people signed up to his lead magnets, he was bringing them through that funnel and he was bringing them through with, you know, in his email sequences, he would include his episodes and things like that. And that was his main objective. It was to use it in some of these formats that you've suggested there. And it was really fascinating. It really opened my eyes to different ways that people are using it. But you just went through so many fantastic ones there. Like, wow, yes, the About Us section, the frequently asked questions, put an embedded audio player onto your frequently asked questions page on your website that answers all of those. And I love the ask your staff to listen because when they're engaged in it as well, they'll talk about it, but they'll also be able to help you brainstorm ideas because they're getting questions from clients and customers that are talking to them. Oh, what else have you? Email signature. Email signature is a great one. Just pop in the link in there. Have you listened to my latest episode? There's so many fantastic ones there. And in fact, actually one that I can think of that I've seen a couple of clients doing quite successfully as well is using the chatbot in Messenger now as well to deliver the latest episode. And whilst I am by no means a chatbot expert, I believe it is fairly straightforward to set up a chatbot. It's just setting up your RSS feed in there. So every time a new episode goes out to your RSS feed, which is obviously through your hosting platform, it pushes a message out via Messenger's chatbot. So that could be another one to think of.
Yeah, and I think it's just a matter of just looking at all the ways that you are communicating out there in the world and how can you incorporate some valuable content into that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that people are going to like and trust you quicker if they're seeing or hearing you rather than the written word. So it's just another way to build that trust quicker as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like we often say it is that really intimate way to get to know someone and they get to know you quicker. So definitely that. Gosh, we've covered so much amazing content already. What are we must be what up to about seven? The seventh way?
Yes, we're just over halfway, which brings me to my next point, which is, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of changing your podcast up. Is it that you are a bit sick yourself of doing it the same type of way and perhaps your listeners are picking up on that? But what I love is those podcasts where you don't necessarily know what's going to come next. And so it could be as simple as just changing up the format. If you've always done a solo and then an interview podcast, maybe you do something a bit different, surprise your listeners and see what you can turn up next. So maybe it is a recording of a workshop or a keynote that you did recently. One of my favorite things is rants. I love hearing people go off about something. And I think there's so much vanilla in the world and everyone's a bit bland. And I just love hearing sometimes people actually having the courage to give their opinion on something that may not always be the most popular view, but it actually lets people respect that, hey, you're willing to have an opinion on something and share that in a hopefully in an articulate way. And sometimes I say to clients, you know what, if you're going on for a rant, grab your phone and just record your immediate frustration into your phone, because that raw content. You'll never get that when you sit down in 2 weeks to record. You know, you may not release it, or you may chop it up a bit, or you may grab just a snippet from it. But just when those moments happen, just recording that real reaction that you're having, and that can be a really great way of opening up your personality a bit to your listeners as well. And it may be a funny anecdote that just happened in a cafe or something like that, but it's just giving a little bit of a variety until the way that you present your content. So think about, you know, is it that you've always done solo and perhaps now you need to look at interviews, or vice versa? Or is it more of a story podcast? Or just have a think about how actually changing up the format of your podcast could make a difference. And the next point on that, which is a little bit similar, is how about looking at a content series as a different change in format? People love to follow case studies or people on a journey. So is it perhaps that you tell a story or follow someone across a 3, 4, 5 episode series, or is across a 6 or 12 month? And just having something a bit different where people are really getting to see the highs and lows in whatever's happening. And if you're in more of a teaching type field, having them see your expertise, if you're mentoring or coaching someone on a call, how you deliver it and the impact that has. And the best types of these is when you get all the good and the bad stuff, you know, and you're really getting to see behind the scenes and follow it along. So I love a good case study sort of content series as such.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, and going back to just to talk on some of those last couple of points, I mean, the thing with podcasting is when you say change it up, absolutely don't be afraid to change it up. And that's one of the beauties of podcasting, is it's so flexible and you can tweak things and change things along the way. You are not set in a structure that you can't change. It's your podcast. You can change it. So if you have, like, I don't know, I mean, I've seen podcasts that are like, okay, this podcast goes for 12 minutes every single episode and we have it in a certain format and we don't move away from that format. But if you do that for a while and go, okay, this is just a bit stale now, then don't be afraid to change it, because your listeners are totally up for changing it. And just frame it, obviously, when you start your next episode or your next season. And I think it's interesting to touch on that point too, where people have got a podcast that they've had for a long time and they've let it sit there and they're not sure whether to start a new one or whether just to pick that one up again. Well, if your audience is the same, I think there's a lot of benefits for just picking it up again, and you can rebrand it, you can make a new cover art, new name, all of that kind of stuff. So don't be afraid to change it in whatever way you feel like changing it, I guess. Driving in your car and having a rant. I'm a bit funny with that one because I get imposter syndrome. So if I get on and do a rant, I'm going to be like, oh, what if someone agrees? But I love what you're saying, have an opinion and put it out there, and it does work very well. So,
and you may not actually release it, but it's more about getting that raw emotion of when something happens, you know, just capturing your thought in that process.
But don't be afraid to release it because, oh, I did it on my phone and the audio quality is not as good. Like, no, just release it anyway. You know, top and tail it, put a fronter on it as you're recording it. You know, like, I had this rant on my phone the other day, and whilst it's going to be different audio, you know, like, don't not release it just because you think, oh, no, the audio quality is not, I didn't have my microphone and stuff.
And how amazing would it be to hear an episode where something happened and then you recorded your instant reaction, and then because of that, something else happened, and you could then review on that episode how you reacted, the impact that it had, and actually, you know, thinking about it, this is how you should have reacted. So it's a little bit of a before and after, or a journey podcast within itself. Or it's just, you know, something funny happened and you want to share it and give your listeners a laugh and make you a little bit more human. So I'm always up for that raw, honest, spur of the moment type content.
Absolutely. And the content series and having case studies, like, that's a great tip too, because especially if you're doing it as a business podcast, like, a case study can be a great way to highlight what you do, or even if you're doing like a live coaching call, or, you know, as you say, the good, the bad and the ugly. It doesn't just have to be the highlights. You don't necessarily want it just to be the highlights. You want it to be real and covering everything. So I also see some people that will run I've got a client who runs a mastermind group and retreats and things like that. And she gets people to record a snippet of their feedback. And then she puts all of those snippets together so that rather than her telling you how amazing something is, she's got her clients to actually tell their thoughts on it and put it together. So that's another interesting way to use that.
Great. A great way also would be to, you know, if you're getting your clients before a retreat or workshop and getting their challenges or things like that, and then getting them afterwards, what did they get out of it? Sort of capturing that journey within itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing on just a little hack on creating some content in a different way. A lot of people like doing list episodes, like we're doing 12 strategies. Sometimes you can actually turn it into a series in itself. So say you had a 5 tips type episode, you could change the format up and release one per day.
Mm.
So you just do a five episode mini series in something and have that go across a week rather than making it one episode. So yes, then you get 5 downloads out of it if you do care about the numbers instead of one.
Yeah, absolutely. And interestingly enough, I've got one of my episodes back in the first season was the 10 steps to launch your podcast. And I do plan on doing just a season talking through those 10 steps and splitting each one of those out into an episode in itself. And, you know, I know that the people, that audience that listen to this show are people who are both podcasters and people who want to launch a show. So that season's not going to be for everyone, but it's still content that's going to relate to the people who want to hear that stuff. So it's still worth doing. And I love that because, as you say, there's just a whole lot of different episodes there.
Yes.
We might have to do a few episodes together, Michaela, and we'll break some of these down even further.
Oh, imagine 12 episodes of this.
Oh. Do you remember how I said, like, back in the beginning, we pick up the phone and we say we've got a quick question? Like, this episode is going to be longer than most episodes.
Of course. If we were smart, we'd chop it up, but we're not going to.
On to the next thing.
Yes, we've talked about promoting it, but when I say promoting is maybe actually putting some marketing budget behind it and actually spending some money on our podcast. Now, if you have a thought, oh, mine's not good enough to put money towards it, well, I question that. Like, why isn't it good enough? You should want to put money towards the content that you're creating, or perhaps you need to refine what you're doing a little bit more. So especially those episodes where you're giving really good value, which would be all episodes, of course, but, you know, there's always those better episodes. And just actually putting some paid ad money behind it and just giving it some actual promotion can go a long way as well.
And are you talking about mainly Facebook ads there, or are you talking, or I suppose Facebook and Instagram? Are you talking about LinkedIn, Google, YouTube? What's a good one?
Wherever your market is. So wherever your listeners are, mm-hmm. And for most people, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, and creating a 1 to 2 minute snippet of your episode or creating into a video is a good way of just making an ad appear different in the newsfeed and breaking it up and giving you a different way of communicating out there.
Okay. So and by saying a video, do you mean like an audiogram style video, or do you mean face to video, or what do you
either, whatever you're comfortable doing and whatever suits the message you're trying to get across. But, yeah, simply is repurposing into an audiogram and just putting some money behind that and, you know, make it a really targeted piece of content, a short little snippet, and put some money behind it, see where it goes. And yep. For most of our audience, that would be things like Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. And I just want to touch on here, Michaela has a background in Facebook ads, so she knows about paid marketing, and not just sort of saying it as a throwaway thing here, but she knows about the targeting and stuff like that as well. So,
and just remember that video ads often are more engaging, so creating audiograms off your episodes, it's just another different ad format that you can try.
Mm, I love that. In fact, I have heard people say that they've snipped up a little bit of their content and done it in an audiogram or in a video and put that money behind it and had success. I personally haven't, but perhaps I will try doing that when I'm remarketing some of my older episodes, actually. So what else have you got for us?
So the next one I really want to talk about is leveraging current trends and opportunities and using that for things like media outreach. So at the moment, things like COVID-19, there's all these different content areas. Perhaps it's about work from home tips or homeschooling or mental health issues or all these types of things. And the media are really looking for experts and things that can comment on these types of stories. So recording episodes and then sending that content out as potential story ideas make journalists' jobs so much easier. They've heard what you've said, they can take it, use it as an interview and put it out there to promote your podcast and get some media PR opportunities happening. And the other great little tip is a website called Source Bottle, which is spelt source as in S-O-U-R-C-E bottle. And that's where journalists go if they're looking for experts to comment on a particular subject. So it's a free service. You get all the emails, call outs in your email once or twice a day. And you can go through and look at what kind of experts they're looking for. And if you've done an episode on a particular area, you can send that to the journalist straight away. So that's sourcebottle.com.au.
Which is a fantastic resource to sign up to. And as you say, I mean, if you've got a podcast and you can send that to pitch for the Source Bottle expert, then that's going to be that little step ahead of someone who's sending in a written pitch, I think, because they can hear you. They can, it's that going back to that building that trust factor a little bit quicker. So that's another great tip there.
All right. And so we've got two more to go. The next step is quite simple and it could be just a matter of having a break. Perhaps you just need to step away from and have a break, and perhaps your listeners are getting a little bit tired as well and they can hear it through you as well. So sometimes the best thing for your podcast is to have a break away from it, re-energize, come back all fresh with new ideas and keep going from there. So that could be another sort of simple growth tip that you could try.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny to say have a break or refresh, but if people are releasing on an ongoing basis, like a weekly basis, a fortnightly basis, and they're not seasonal podcasts are a little bit different because you're scheduling in those breaks between seasons, which is obviously how I changed this show to be, but it can be hard to keep going week on week on week. And so end up a season, finish it off, round it out, tell your listeners that you're having a break. Don't just stop doing it and then have them wonder like, oh, well, I actually haven't seen an episode released for like 4 or 5 weeks. I wonder if they're even going to do this anymore. Just sort of wrap it up and let them know. And then, as Michaela said, re-energize, come back with fresh content, and you'll feel a whole lot better for having a break. I've worked with a lot of podcasters over the years, and that week in, week out scheduling of shows, and I put a post in the Facebook group about how long does it take you, and it's taking some people a lot longer than others. And so, yeah, you might just have that break and it will make all the difference.
And you know what? You may not come back to it, and that's okay. You've still got great content that you can still use, especially if it's evergreen, through all the ways that we've talked about in the episode as well. So it's not like it's going to waste. You can still use all that great content.
Absolutely.
And last but not least, you know what? It's just about asking perhaps what other people might think. And I'm not always a big fan of getting opinions of certain people about what you produce, but sometimes asking the right people and getting an outside opinion can just give you a fresh look at something. You know, when you're so close to it, you don't really know, or if you've been doing something for a long time, you're maybe stuck on ideas and things like that. And so that's why we have strategy sessions, isn't it, Lyndall?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And I have had such amazing feedback about the strategy sessions that you do with clients, Michaela, because you obviously touch on a lot of this information, but in more detail. And we do strategy sessions. I do a podcast health check as well, which same thing. Sometimes the strategy is more about the content and how you're formatting it, whereas the health check is more around the technical side of things. And sometimes you just need some outside eyes to just go, why don't you try this? Or why don't you do that? So absolutely.
And great if you're stuck on ideas, because often you know, I love just brainstorming all the different types of actual content or episode ideas that you can do as well. So that's another fun part of the sessions.
I cannot tell you enough. Like Michaela, as I said to you before, her brain is just wired this way. And when you get on a call, and I know Lauren's talked about it in the episode I did with Lauren Stratford, she was just blown away. She's done a couple of sessions with you because Michaela is just, yeah, she'll just get you thinking differently about it. So definitely keep that in mind if you feel like you need to, just having a session with someone else to brainstorm through some of that stuff.
So we've come to the end of the 12 points, and honestly, we could keep going. I'm sure there is so much more stuff that we could cover. The one thing that I think we could add to the end of all of that is just one word, and that is consistency. If you're going to release a podcast and you want it to grow, be consistent and know that it is a long game. You are not going to release your show and have it going off within, if you're trying to grow your audience from not too much, I should say, you're not going to find it, you know, to be this massive success in a month or 2 months or 3 months even. It might take you a year, it might take you 2 years, but keep going, know it's a long game and keep being consistent and start thinking about how you can incorporate some of those 12 points that we've just been through into your show. So at the end of every interview, which you heard us talk about before, I like to ask my guests two questions. So Michaela, what do you wish you'd known when you started your podcast?
Well, the biggest thing was learning that I'm my biggest obstacle, and that is actually something I can control. So for me, it was just getting out of my own way and stop overthinking it and just start recording. Because until you start doing, you don't actually know what you like doing. You don't know what you're good at. You only really learn by doing. So when I started the podcast years ago, it was something I'd had in the back of my head for ages and ages beforehand. And the right opportunity and the right co-host of Warwick came along, and so the doors opened and it just flowed from there. But it was more like, you know what, it's just about knowing that a lot of our overthinking that we're doing is all about self-sabotage, and that's getting in the way of where I wanted to go. And it was just, I guess for me, it was about acknowledging that I was doing it and just getting out of my own way and stop listening to all those stupid voices that go around in my head and take some action, because whenever I took action, I felt better.
Yes. So, yep. Kick that imposter syndrome to the curb and the self-sabotaging and all of that sort of stuff. What is your best tip around podcasting?
So what I would say is to spend five times more promoting it than recording and prepping for it. I just think that, like I've said before, that there's such great valuable content that everyone shares in their episodes, and it just doesn't get out to enough people, and we don't emphasize the importance of really promoting it and continuing to promote it the week of the release, 2 months after, a year after, and putting it in all those areas in your business or out to your community that we've discussed today. And, you know, it is a bit of a block for some people about promoting their episodes, but I would say look at it, what valuable information or entertainment are your listeners missing out on because you're not sharing it? And so I think it's just a matter of putting it out there. And the other thing is just stop caring what other people think. I think it's just scary about what we haven't done in our lives because we're so consumed about what other people think, which is really pointless.
That is so true. Stop caring what people think. Thank you so much. That was such a great conversation. And thank you so much for coming on. You will be on the show again. I'm going to make you a regular guest because I could talk to you for hours and hours on podcasting. I think I could do a whole bloopers show on just this episode, which is just, I just had the giggles in a few moments there. Anyway, if people want to get in touch with you, Michaela, where's the best place to go and find you?
I would head to contentjuice.com.au.
Fantastic. And I am going to give Content Juice a bit of a plug because I have used them and it's fantastic. It just, for me, it's just knowing that I'm going to get graphics and audiograms for every episode and I can go and promote it and I don't have to stop and do those things. So thank you so much for your help. Well, thank you just so much for your friendship, Michaela, and I'll be talking to you again soon.
It was a pleasure.
I really loved having that chat with Michaela, and I will definitely get her back on the show because she's a great guest to talk to and there were lots of laughs. We mentioned a couple of times in the chat the strategy session. So I'm actually having a special at the moment. It's $100 off a strategy session until the end of August. So if you're interested in having a strategy session with Michaela, head over to my website, podcastva.com, and click on shop in the navigation bar and you'll see the podcast strategy session there. I also do have the podcast health check as well. So if you'd like to find out a little bit more about that, click on the button and you'll see what's included. As I mentioned earlier as well, this is the last episode for season 3, so I will be having a break in between seasons. I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to come back yet, but it will be probably a month or two between seasons this time. So until next time, I hope to see you in the Facebook group, Australian Podcasters Collaborative. Jump on in there and join the conversation, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe in your podcatcher so you don't miss an episode. And whilst you're there, I'd love it if you'd leave me a rating and review to help other podcasters.